Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam. Born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the program. This is TPU Radio. I am Jason Easley. And the topic for our show tonight will be the always divisive and controversial Hillary Clinton. We're going to break down the Clinton campaign, talk about the good, the bad, why she's winning, why should she win, maybe why she shouldn't win. We have a lot in store for you, and it's going to be a fun and fast-paced half hour, so let's get right to it by bringing in my good friend, George.
Hello, Jason.
Hi, George.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
How's your weekend been?
Very productive. I was actually at work today doing a little overtime action, and while I was there, I was able to sneak in my column, so you know, like I got that done.
I thought your job was to be the man at 401 movies.
That's a hobby, not the job, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. That you're just a hobbyist then?
By
the way, if anybody wants to join us on the program today, our phone number is 718-664-6734, or you can reach us via AAM at CAPJ71. See, without Will here, I have to do all the hard work. George, today's subject is Hillary. I'm going to ask you a real softball to begin with.
Bring it on.
What do you think of her as a candidate, as a presidential candidate?
She's somebody who is basically just kind of towing that line, just basically kind of, saying that she's not going to maintain the status quo, yet doing it just enough in other ways. Just to feel, in a way, it's very much like a more of the same kind of thing, because Hillary is basically, she's all about end the war, universal health care, and it just feels like we're going to wind up being, just led along the same four-year path, only with a few, with a few differences, obviously, because she's going to try to get us out of the war.
Changes around the edges. Are you talking about more like a few changes around the edges?
Oh, just a little bit, yeah.
Do you think Hillary is the candidate of the same? She's a status quo candidate, no matter that George W. Bush or Republicans in the White House right now.
Kind of. I mean, it just seems like no matter what, whatever she's going to try to do, it's going to wind up being shut down in Congress anyway. And it just feels like there just doesn't feel like there's any sort of real dynamic change. It's very much like a meet the new boss, same as the old boss sort of quality.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, well, she has a lot of support from the Democratic Party.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Because she's marketable. That's why. Because they believe that, they believe that she can win because of the fact that she had so much will she or won't she clout that was already going into her. It's just like what I said last week. People like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, those people were people that the media was focused on first before the candidates decided to focus on the office. That's why you have, a lot of, the also-rans that aren't doing very well because of the fact that they basically said, I'm running for president, and the media saying, who asked you?
Yeah. We didn't invite you to this party.
Yeah.
This party is a big name party this year.
Yeah,
you have to be somebody to get coverage.
This is the Vanity Fair post Oscar party. That's basically what this is. Only A-listers are getting in, and apparently, people like Bill Richardson and my boy Joe Biden, they don't have the proper dress code because they're not getting past the damn velvet rope.
They're just not flashy enough to merit the kind of coverage that, honestly, I know we rip Richardson constantly on this program.
Yeah.
It's almost a weekly hobby, but he does have some good ideas.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing that kills me is about guys like Richardson, Biden, even Kucinich. These are people that have an idea, have focus, have, something to bring to the table. The problem is that they keep raising their hand and nobody's calling on them.
Yeah, I almost think it's a matter of this is an election where you're penalized for having ideas.
Yes. And that and you therein lies the big problem right there.
You have to be as bland and vanilla as possible if you're going to make any headway.
Yeah.
I have pages and pages of numbers, because we're going to get into the head-to-heads and why the Clinton campaign slogan of "I can win in November" might not be so true as you would first suspect. The first numbers I'm going to give you, George, and these are the really interesting ones. This was a poll released by Rasmussen Reports today,
mm-hmm.
and it shows the degree of support, definitely for or definitely against each candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to run down. Hillary Clinton has the highest amount of definitely for support at 29%.
Mm-hmm.
Obama's number two at 28. Giuliani is third at 26. The real stunner. Oh, Edwards has 28. So Edwards is right up there with Obama, and Edwards is tied with Obama, tied for second. Yeah, you got three Democrats. And then Rudy's the only Republican. Rudy's honestly the only Republican cracking 20%.
Right.
So that's definitely four.
Yeah.
The intriguing part of this poll is the definitely against, which means if they're nominated, under no circumstances will I vote for this person.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton has 46% definitely against. That is the second highest number in this entire poll, only trailed by Joe Biden at 47% against.
You're kidding me.
No. I was stunned when I read this a couple hours ago.
You know, between the Yankees and Joe Biden, 2007, I just can't catch a freaking break.
I mean, what did Joe Biden ever do to anyone to be at a 47% definitely again?
I don't get it. It was just like this man has shown time and time again he is intelligent. He is forthright. He has ideas. He has plans of these ideas. Detailed plans. He's read leather-bound books.
To run through the definitely against, Biden is at 47. Clinton is at 46. Obama is at Huckabee's at 42, Romney's at 42, McCain's at 42, Obama's at 40, Giuliani's at 37, because these aren't in numerical order, they're in sort of alphabetical order, so I'm going to have to juggle them in my head while I'm doing this. Giuliani's at 37, and then we got Richardson at 35, which isn't really, you know, which is deserved, Thompson at 31, Edwards at 32. You know, I can't see a reason why Joe Biden is inspiring this degree of hatred.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? There was a movie that came out in 89, this really underrated Richard Dreyfuss movie called Let It Ride. And there's this whole scene where he is basically asking everybody which horse they like in this race. And whichever horse they pick, he scratches off his list until he gets down to one more, and that's the one that he bets on. It seems like everybody is so against everybody that that's basically the only way that you can really guess who's going to win. You ask all these different polls, you know, like all these different people that are taking these polls, who do you not want to win? You scratch that
everybody.
Name off, and all of a sudden you're going to get Gravel. Gravel's going to wind up winning.
And Ron Paul.
Yeah.
That's all we have left. Now,
with Ron Paul, you ask somebody who watches Fox News, and that person's going to say, "Oh, Ron Paul, definitely."
Yeah. They say, "Oh, Ron Paul is evil. We don't want Ron Paul. He's a
Oh, no, no.
That's what the fuck, remember, that's what Fox News has been saying. Ron Paul's the enemy.
Yeah.
Joe Biden has a net positive negative of minus 41. Okay. Huckabee's at minus 32, Romney at minus 29, McCain at minus 26, Richardson minus 23. Now, let's face it, the people I just mentioned
mm-hmm.
all have no chance at winning the nomination.
Yeah.
Clinton's at a minus 17.
Wow.
Giuliani is at a minus 11, Obama a minus 12. Thompson and Edwards are both the only ones in single digits at minus 8 and minus 4.
Has Thompson even announced that he's running yet?
No, they're expecting it sometime beginning of next month, maybe even over 4th of July weekend to capitalize
How fitting.
On the,
How fitting for
Ronald Reagan-esque photo op.
Come on.
Yeah, I bet he's a little over the top to you. It should with anybody with half a mind.
It's going to be like, you know, watch out for the big twist on the season finale of Law and Order. Yeah.
Well, remember Carl Weathers and his entrance in Rocky 1?
Oh, absolutely.
When he was coming in for the big fight?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is what Thompson's announcement's going to look like. They're going to dress him like Uncle Sam.
I can actually see Thompson walking in like Macho Man Randy Savage and, you know, like holding out the big flowing robe, except it's an American flag right behind him.
just laying the smack down on Rudy Giuliani. But this is the Clinton show. So Clinton has a minus 17. Okay, Clinton is very polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Why, when you look at just this, and we got plenty more data to go through, why would anyone ever think that Hillary Clinton could win in November?
People think that she can win in November just because she's the closest thing that's there to the Clinton years. You know, like that's the main thing that they're really, you know, kind of have to draw on. If she had just gone from first lady to doing nothing to then running, then you got a problem. But the fact that she went ahead and got her seat in the Senate and won it and held it
twice.
That helps out, because not only does she have the 8 years experience as first lady, but now she's got 8 years experience in the Senate. So that's 16 years right there. You know, like, and even though it is two presidencies, but at the same time, that's 16 years, and a lot happened in that 16 years.
Yeah, is this really, is the whole Clinton thing, is it like the Republicans are charging, it's a nostalgia tour.
Oh,
is it a nostalgia tour? Is it a let's go back to the 1990s?
It's definitely a feeling of nostalgia. I personally, like I've said before on this program, I think it's somewhat dangerous, because you have a possibility of, you know, of 24 years of either a Bush or a Clinton in office, and that's a little scary. You know,
yeah,
like we've already had Bush and Clinton in office for 20 years.
I think that's something that's pulling a lot of people back on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, because, when
it comes to the general election.
This is kind of the reason why we formed this nation to begin with, is to kind of get away from, you know, like, from the autocracy.
Monarchical rule.
Yeah.
It's starting to look like there's some sort of monarchy or oligarchy.
Yeah,
where
it's almost like... It's very
only
much like kind of a maintaining of like I said before, like a maintaining of the status quo, because you have Bush, you know, like for this 8 years, is pulling the country in one direction, and then, you know, like the Clintons are saying, like, all right, we'll pull it back to the other direction, and then you have, you know, like possibly, you know, like God forbid, you have Jeb coming in, and he pulls the country in another direction, and it's basically just like this one straight line of mediocrity.
Yeah. The problem is W pushed us to the right,
mm-hmm.
but the Clintons are going to push us center right. They're
right.
not going to bring us back left,
yeah.
so that we end up in the middle.
Right.
They're going to keep that center right course.
Yeah.
And that means that the net real change for America is pretty small.
Yeah.
Now on the hypothetical head to head, this is from Rasmussen.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary leads John McCain 46-42, which is within the margin of error. When it comes to Clinton Giuliani. Giuliani leads 46-45 within the margin of error of 4, means it's a tie. Now we're getting into the idea, because remember, Clinton's big sell point,
mm-hmm.
her sell point for this entire campaign, besides I have ovaries and I am a Clinton, has been I can win in November. So let's take a quick look. I just gave you Rasmussen. It's a tie ball game between her and Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
The Newsweek poll just came out over the weekend here. Margin of error 4. Clinton leads Giuliani 51-44 in this poll. Obama leads Giuliani, though, 49-44. Edwards leads Giuliani 48-46. You're catching the pattern here.
Mm.
We flip over to John McCain. Clinton leads McCain 50-45, 5% undecided. Obama beats McCain by 10. Edwards beats McCain by 6. Romney-Clinton, we don't even really win the Romney numbers, do we?
No.
Because you know what the Romney number is going to say. I mean, the Democrats just trounce Romney. And but Clinton only beats him by 15. Obama beats him by, wow, my Lord. Obama beats him by, let's see, 16. Edwards beats him by 21.
wow.
Now, the Thompson-Hillary Clinton matchup, which, you know, Thompson's going to be the savior here.
Right.
According to the Newsweek poll, and the Newsweek is kind of a conservative magazine, but their
mm-hmm.
polls tend to fluctuate a bit. The Clinton-Thompson race. Clinton leads Thompson 53-42, 5% undecided.
Wow.
So, actually, Rudy Giuliani's been running around saying he can run the best against the Democrats, and the poll numbers are showing that he's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Obama-Thompson... Obama beats Thompson by 14, 53-39. Edwards beats Thompson by 16, 54-38. Making me do math on the fly is a real toughie. Giuliani, Clinton, and Bloomberg, three-way split. Clinton beats Rudy 46-37 with Bloomberg drawing 11% of the support. When Obama's the nominee, Obama beats Rudy 44-38 with 11% of the support going to Bloomberg. McCain, Clinton, Bloomberg. McClinton beats McCain 46-35, Bloomberg 13% of the vote. Obama, McCain, Bloomberg 11%. Bloomberg fluctuates. The highest percentage of support he gets is actually in the matchup Obama Thompson.
Really?
Bloomberg shoots up to 14% with Obama beating Fred Thompson by 15 points. Yeah.
Wow.
So basically, this is the newest poll. This is the Newsweek poll. Not really one of my favorites, but it's showing that Mike Bloomberg, which I'm going to ask you about probably before the end of the show, Mike Bloomberg actually pulls support away from both the Democrat and the Republican.
Makes sense, especially in the Clinton Giuliani race, because you have it's a subway series. That's basically like what this is. If that winds up being the case,
if it's a subway series and Bloomberg throws himself in, then what's Bloomberg, the Brooklyn Dodgers?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, does he become a third entity that wasn't there before?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what's really interesting. Just like the fact that there's these rumors that are swirling around like mad around here, thinking that he's going to throw his hat in the race.
Just from the organizing he's doing and the workplaces he's traveling and
he's
been doing for the last 2 years, I would say it's going to take a lot to keep him out.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I think if it's a Clinton Giuliani race, he's running.
Yeah. When it comes to that, it's basically like, hey, this is New York. I know this town. I'll play too.
Now, if Bloomberg was in the race and you had to vote for president for either Giuliani, Clinton, or Bloomberg, where do you vote?
Oh, jeez, and I'm a New Yorker too. So
as a New Yorker,
that gets me right in the hometown gut there. It's so weird because it was just like you have Clinton, who is somebody who I've had a lot of reservations about, just like I said before. It gets to a point where I'm not automatically voting for her just because she's running as a Democrat, because it's something that, because I voted for Bloomberg, I voted for him to be the mayor and everything, to basically just kind of keep the place going, and he's been doing a tremendous job of that. He's somebody who has continued to get things done, and personally, I would love to, have a drink with him and everything just for getting rid of the whole, no cigarettes in bars policy. My clothes have never smelled cleaner, ever since I've come back to bars.
that even means that you spend too much time in bars.
You're
way too worried about the odor of your smoking.
You got to go with what works for you right at home,
So you're not really sure who you would go for if it's a three.
It's really tight because people are given all this credit and everything to Giuliani for the wrong reasons. He did a lot of good things, but people aren't looking at that. They're looking at it as he was the mayor during 9/11, and he shouldn't be looked at it like that. He was there.
As somebody pointed out in an article, Rudy was only around, or maybe it was a 4-in-1 article, Rudy was only around for 2 months after 9/11.
Right.
Bloomberg is the one who's done all the real post-9/11 heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy's getting a lot of credit he doesn't necessarily deserve.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And
he's been taking a lot of credit that he doesn't necessarily deserve. Because
let's flip back to Hillary. My big thing is, can she win in November? Especially in a three-way race, can she win in November?
I'm very on the fence on that. I'm really, hesitant to say yes. It's airline food and hospital food. Neither one of them is something that you're really clamoring for. And
I have to say to listeners right now, Clinton's approval rating across the board, no matter where you look, varies anywhere from her favorability rating varies anywhere from 48% to 51%. She doesn't go any higher than 51% approval or favorability.
And that's so, and that's the thing that's really sad is that this is the best that our country can do. And
yeah.
And that's sad. That's really sad, the fact that there is nobody out there that captures the imagination on a national basis anymore.
I mean, I'll be honest, and I will go on the record right now, and I will tell you, if Bloomberg is running and my choices are between Clinton and Giuliani, I may vote for Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah.
I can't bring myself really to vote for either of them.
Right.
I don't know if she can win in November. I don't know if somebody can, and she's been in national life for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows her. She's
yeah.
not going to change any minds.
Right.
Among independents, her approval rating among independents, her favorability rating, is 51% among independents.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to win the presidency in this country right now, where it's split 50-50, you have to be popular among independents.
Yeah.
And she's not. And she's got an 80% approval rating among Democrats, but I think that comes from
the fact
a whole
that
bunch
with
of
Democratic
nostalgia.
Party. Yeah. It's nostalgia and the fact that she... The basically is just that everybody seems to be buying into what she's selling. What she's selling is exactly what you said. I can win in November. And people
That's
are agreeing
message.
With her
yeah.
and saying, yeah, you can. And as soon as people start agreeing with her, that's where the power comes in. That's where that 80% approval
yeah.
rating comes in with the Democratic
yeah.
Party.
Yeah, I think actually that people ignore the numbers like crazy. I mean, I have pages of numbers here, and it all says the same thing, that a race between Hillary Clinton and Rudy Giuliani is a toss-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a split race.
Yeah.
She does a little – a race between her and Fred Thompson in the other polls, like the Cook Report poll, it's a toss-up. It's dead even. I mean, so the whole argument that she can win in November is a little bit of a fallacy, and they know it if they're looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
They know the best they can do is drop Gore Kerry numbers and hope that they can swing Ohio.
Yeah, it basically what this makes me think of. The main thing that this really makes me think of is the fact that not only have all these pollsters that are coming in, they are basically, if I'm not mistaken, registered voters. Am I right?
Yeah, almost all of them are.
Now that's a major thing that really as Democrats and that the Democratic Party just has not been able to build on is gaining new members, gaining new voters.
Yeah,
and
I mean, well,
like
right
there's
now
nobody there who's doing it, who's really captivating people into registering to vote in order to get that person.
And the Obama supporters will claim to you that's what Obama's going to do.
Right, but at the same time, it's not working because all that fire, all that passion, all that energy that got him in the spotlight in the first place isn't there anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
he's running.
I'll be honest. I wrote that a Barack Obama commentary for Forum of Mania, and if you go there right now, there's a Hillary Clinton commentary up that talks about the same kind of things we're talking about, but in a little more detail. When you deal with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, I often think you're dealing with two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think there's really any big difference between them. Obama puts it in a prettier package. Obama spices it up with the language of change. But I wrote about his ethics reform proposal earlier. Obama's ethics reform proposal was interesting because it said nothing about campaign finance.
Mm-hmm.
How can you reform the ethics when you're not getting the special interest money out of the system?
And
that's where the corruption is.
Right. That's right at the source. That is,
And Hillary doesn't talk about special interest money because Hillary takes a ton of special interest money.
Oh, yeah.
Her campaign's rolled by special interest money.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, in Michael Moore's new movie coming out this Friday, everyone, some critics are really jumping on the fact that he calls Hillary sexy, sassy, blah, 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 when he's talking about her universal health care proposal in the 90s. What they don't point out is, in the very next sequence, He tells the world that she's been quiet on health care now because she ranks third in the Senate in campaign contributions from drug companies.
Wow.
They basically bought her silence, which is why you've heard Hillary say, yeah, we need universal health care, but she's offered no plan.
Right. There's, she's basically just, kind of repeating the same sort of statements that Bill did back when he was, proposing universal health care. And the problem is that there's no backup. There's nothing to show it.
Yeah, I mean, I personally believed deep in my heart that unless the Democrats gain 60 votes in the Senate, and that's what it's going to take, I mean, even if they lose the White House, if they get up to 60 votes in the Senate, you will see real policy changes.
Right
now, the Republicans have just enough votes to block it with the three-fifths rule,
mm-hmm.
so they're blocking everything. But if you get up to 60 votes, it doesn't matter who wins. Fred Thompson can be president. If they have enough to override a veto, get up a little higher to like 68 votes, I believe is the threshold.
I think
to
so.
Override it, because
67.
67, I believe, is the number.
Okay.
And once they get to that number, once they get up over 60 in the Senate, then you can start working on being able to override vetoes.
Mm-hmm.
And 60 is the number needed for passage.
Right.
Okay, now, I asked you if she can win in November. Can she be stopped in the Democratic Party, or is her nomination a done deal?
I want to say that there's still plenty of time and everything, but at the same time, there just doesn't seem to be anybody else that has the clout that can stop her. And I'm not, you know, like trying to pass her off as, you know, like as, you know, this lunatic that must be brought down or anything like that. But at the same time, it just feels like I said before, we're very close to four more years of more of the same.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we're almost to the point where if Fred Thompson's not going to be different, I mean, Rudy Giuliani's not going to be different. Barack Obama's not going to be different.
Right.
Hillary Clinton's not going to be different. And I think that's why the candidacy of Michael Bloomberg is intriguing to so many people.
Yeah, and
if
I mean,
was
like, there was
a year.
There was a chance. There was a chance for two major, you know, like major enthusiastic, charismatic, intelligent, passionate players to be involved. Both Barack Obama and John McCain, they had a shot.
Yeah.
If they just kept that same sort of energy, if they were able to keep that same sort of momentum that got them in the spotlight in the first place, and neither one of them could sustain it. And there just doesn't seem to be anything left for either one of them. They just seem to be running on fumes and pandering to the same choir that they've been preaching to for the past couple of years.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the newest rumor is Joe Biden is essentially angling to be Secretary of State in a Democratic administration.
Hey,
that's what he wants.
You know, like, it's, hey, he's playing to his strengths. I'll give him that.
That's why he's in the race. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Besides winning the presidency.
Right.
I really believe, you just look at the numbers, and the numbers are so overwhelming, especially in the big states.
Yeah.
Unless something happens between now and January, and she just, the wheels just fall off for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to win this nomination.
And the big problem with that, the one thing that people are not, you know, like really kind of focusing on, is the fact that Fox News is pushing really hard for her.
Oh yeah, they want her.
Yeah,
she's the best matchup for the Republicans.
Absolutely. You know, like
she's a Republican dream.
And all that we seem to be doing is just playing right into Fox News' hands.
Yeah, well,
all over
remember,
again. And it's
once again,
Rupert
Murdoch held a fundraiser for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't understand why people don't see it. You know, like just
the Clintons were very good to corporate America, and corporate America loves the Clintons.
Yeah.
As I wrote my Friday column, I just listed an entire list of things the Clinton did that weren't liberal. And one of the things he pushed hardest was deregulation. Clinton was the one who had most of the responsibility for the Enron collapse because the deregulation of utilities started a little bit under Reagan and Bush, but it accelerated under Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who kicked it into overdrive.
Right.
He's the one who deregulated the communications companies to the point where anybody can own as many as they want of anything, which is why we have three companies controlling all the radio airwaves.
Yep.
You know, basically two now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Clinton's not a liberal. Hillary Clinton's not a liberal. I don't understand why the right hates her. And George, if you want to wrap up the show right here with why does the right hate Hillary? Well, that'll be the last question. We'll do your pimps and then we'll go home.
Why do they hate her? They hate Hillary because she basically, according to the way that that the blue staters really kind of say it, you know, like the Clintons do kind of represent like this, you know, like despite the fact that they are pandering to corporate America, they do have to appeal to a younger crowd, which basically signifies change, which is what the red states don't want.
Oh, good point. George, let's do your pimps and wrap up the show for the week.
I will be doing Scene Anatomy 101, 411mania.com/movies on Wednesday with the UBS Evening News on Thursday.
Okay, and remember, you can check out my commentary on this very subject of Hillary right there at forumomania.com/politics. George, thank you very much for a good discussion this week.
My pleasure.
And we'll see you, we'll probably see you later this week for another show. If not, we'll see you next Sunday.
Sounds great.
I'll talk to everybody soon.
All right, bye-bye.
See you next week. Bye-bye.